Hey folks, it's Chris, your GM for the Heroes of Havel's Way. This is the first episode of Part 2, but I just wanted to let you know that the first 7 episodes for Part 2 are up on our Patreon right now. So if you go over there and join up, you can get it free for 7 days, and then if you stick around, I'll be releasing these episodes like this early in chunks, you know, kind of like a mini audiobook, going forward in perpetuity. If you want to check that out, we have a link on our website, or you can just go to patreon.com/thakowa. That's THAWA. Thank you for the time, and now let's get on with the show. In the barony of Castakin, evil is rising. Creatures born of mud, stone, and bone have appeared. Politics keep the powers that be from taking action against this threat. The barony needs heroes. In the far-off hamlet of Havel's Way, 2 childhood friends, bound by dreaming stars, may be the heroes that the barony needs. This is their story. The story of the Heroes of Havel's Way. Odine Dahlia Celestine is played by Angela Murray.
She knows that there is something amiss here, but she is not socially adept to have any clue of how to help.
Aramon Durant is played by Jared Rasher.
I know, I've mentioned my dreams before. I had one that didn't just feel meaningful, it felt important.
And the Dungeon Master is Chris Snezak.
Why are we teaching when we're fighting something terrible?
You will not invade my small clothes!
Get it off!
Now, we begin. You are on a boat with Graves Lakeshire. You are sailing towards Nooks after everything that has happened. On the boat with you is his crew, along with Silphara, or 1729. I don't know how Silphara is clothed at the moment. I know that Graves gave her them a cloak so that they could be wrapped up in it because they are a construct, and they look very strange comparatively speaking. You pull into Nooks, and Nooks is a much larger space than you've been in previously. You pull up outside of the city limits of Nooks, towards the northeast. Graves says goodbye to you, thanks you for your patronage and for not getting him killed. He appreciates that.
I'm very glad you didn't die.
Thank you for staying there to pick us up.
Absolutely, no problem, ma'am. Just put in a good word with the Baroness for me.
Will do.
The rest of the crew waves to you.
Monty's on Odie's shoulder, waving.
He's got a stick in his hand, too. Those are some really nice people.
They're good people. I'm glad we stopped the island from blowing up.
As am I, says Silphara. Now what?
Well, I think this is where we're supposed to meet the Baroness, but I think we might have gotten here before they did because we came by boat. Right, Aramon? Based on travel time, horse, carriage, road, length, distance?
Let me think back to my lessons in arithmetic that my father, yes, I'm sure that we're here earlier.
So you're standing there on the road. It's a well-worn, well-trodden road. It's not dirt, it's made of stone. It's been paved. A lot of the roads in the barony are paved. Makes travel quite quick.
I don't know, is there somebody we could just get a room at an inn and wait, but I don't know if there's somebody we should check in with, or like, I've never been to Nooks.
I'm not sure that Aramon's been to Nooks.
I do not believe that I have.
So it's just the two of you with a construct and a cloak and a sort of talking raccoon hanging out on the road. By the way, a cart being pulled by a horse rides by you, splashes some mud on you, Aramon.
Sorry about that.
That is no problem. I will clean them later.
Smells like fish. The reason it splashed mud on you is because it had to like ride around you guys because you're standing in the middle of the road, and it went off the road a little bit and hit the mud on the side, which splattered up on you.
Which will not occur to Aramon at first.
Let's go find an inn. And Odie will pause for a moment to fix the cloak on Silpharan.
Well, thank you very much. Am I covered?
You're covered.
You make your way into Nooks. There are farms all over the place, and you see a large building in the center of this 5-road, almost city, you would say. The 5 roads are lined on both sides with houses and buildings of different kinds of constructions. As you look deeper in, at the ends of these roads are these large stone buildings that have docks on them, and you see weird fences in the water You're not sure what they are. They're pretty far away from where you're at, so there's that. As you walk up to a two-story building, it has a sign on it with a stone golem sitting at a table. It is obviously the name of the inn. Odie, you recognize the stone golem's table as being one of the constellations in the celestial matrix.
Oh, that's clever. The sign, it's like one of the zodiacs.
Oh.
We should check this place out.
I thought it was just someone wanted to put a big stone person at a table, because that actually amuses me, so.
You walk into the inn, and it once again smells like fish. This whole town smells like fish and corn, essentially. A lot of the crops that you saw as you were walking in were corn.
Means there's going to be chowder.
The first floor of the inn is a lively place. There are 20 to 25 people in here, eating food, talking, drinking. The gentleman behind the bar, he is a thin man, a bit on the tall side. He's got long hair. It's a bit gray here and there. He's older. He is shouting around to people, having a good time, talking. His face is a bit ruddy as he pours a drink for one of the patrons. A younger woman, 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there. She is serving a plate of fried fish, a fish fry of some sort, to a bunch of patrons. There is another slightly younger boy running around, also bussing tables. And a woman who looks like an older version of the girl pokes her head out of a door, probably the kitchen, from where you're smelling the lovely spices and cooked fish and batter of fish fry coming from the back. Says, get an order for table three. Okay, Mom.
I am going to walk up to the counter.
Hello there, friend. New to town?
Yes, actually. We have not been here before. And do you know, if someone were coming into town from somewhere else, is there anywhere else they would likely stay, or would this be the place that they would be coming to?
This is the first inn on the way in. My place, the Stone Golem's Table. Inn, also restaurant. There are a couple other inns in town, but this is usually the first place anybody stops at.
That's good to know.
I think we'd like a room.
Oh, absolutely.
We're waiting on some friends that are traveling the road, and we kind of got here first.
Room for three? We don't really do raccoons.
Odie puts her cloak up and hides Monty. What raccoon?
The one on your shoulder. I mean, maybe we can do a raccoon for an extra 5 silver pieces?
I think we can do that. I think we can do that.
We'll find out, right? How many days would you like the room for?
Well, one to start, and we'll let you know tomorrow. It may be a couple of days. It may only be a day.
I have travelers that come in, and I have some scheduled things here. If you want a room, I can reserve one right now for you for 3 days for 6 silver pieces, and then an extra 5 for the raccoon.
Okay.
That does not come with food, though, unfortunately. You have to come down and purchase that yourself.
Okay.
All right. He makes the exchange, sends you up to your room. There are 2 beds in here, unless you wanted another room with another set of beds.
No, this is probably fine.
Yeah.
It's comfortable. There's a dresser. There's a window that looks outside over the rest of the town. You get a pretty good look at the town. There is a like I said, a large building in the center of town. Like, you've never been here. You don't know what's going on.
As we are getting settled into the room, Odie's going to actually open the window to basically, like, you know, air come in and out. And then she is going to cast a spell. She's going to cast Animal Messenger.
Oh, nice.
And she's hoping for a small bird.
So you cast Animal Messenger. What does your spell look like when you cast it? Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
So you're looking for an Animal Messenger. And those little star sprites, they tend to be around you now when you look for them. You could actually ask one of them to go get it for you.
Oh, then I will ask. Yeah, kind of whisper to the star sprite and ask it to find me a small bird that can carry a message to the Baroness.
Nods at you. Then it flies off. Comes back. There's a bird. Is a blue jay. Tweet, 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 tweet. What message do you want to send to the Baroness?
Baroness, this is Odie and Aramon. We have made it to Nooks. We are at the Stone Golem's table.
It says the message back to you in your voice to make sure that it's right.
Yes, perfect.
Which is unsettling in some ways, but maybe not to you, because you probably cast the spell before.
It's actually relatively new. It came with the new spells she can cast. But she's talked to birds before.
Yeah. Aramon, how do you feel hearing a bird talk back to Odie in Odie's exact voice?
Aramon is sitting there just kind of like staring out the window. I'm used to Odie casting her spells and doing whatever. And then when I hear the voice coming back again, I glance over my shoulder because I don't realize where it's coming from. I'm just wondering why she's saying the same thing twice. Then I see it coming out of the bird, and I'll look over at Odie and say, I do not remember this trick from before.
This is a new version of the trick. I mean, I've always been able to talk to the birds, but this is now I can ask it to carry a message.
Does this mean all of the animals that you talk to will sound like you now?
I think only if I'm asking them to do this.
Okay, I was not quite prepared for Monty to start having your voice.
Oh, goodness, no, that'll never happen.
No way. That'd be weird. All you hear is the raccoon chittering in laughter when you say that. The bird flies off.
Okay, the spell lasts for 24 hours.
24 hours. It'll get there.
And it basically can travel 50 miles.
I already did the math. It's fine. What would you like to do now?
Is it the same day as the events on the island, or did we have a rest while we were on the boat traveling here?
You would have rested while you were on the boat. It took a little while to get here.
Then if it's morning, I'd suggest we just explore the town.
Yeah, it's probably late morning, like 10, 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Silphara is just sitting there by the window staring out it.
Silphara, what would you like to do? We have to be a little careful because I don't know how people will react to you, but I don't want to tell you you have to stay here.
She looks at all the people, and there are a lot of people here, walking out of buildings, walking around down the roads, in the fields, working. I would very much like to go among the people, but I do not want to cause trouble. I will defer to whatever you think is best, Odie and Aramon.
And Aramon stops for a second and goes, I haven't even thought about this until now, but do you eat anything?
I absorb essence from the air. The water vapor in the air sustains me.
I do not think I would find that very filling.
I mean, the water vapor from the air of a town like this is going to taste a little funny because it's full of fish and people kind of stink.
As soon as you say that it's going to smell or taste a little funny, Aramon is like, oh my goodness, can you taste?
I cannot.
Oh.
At least not in this form.
It might be a good thing sometimes.
But Odie is correct. The air here is interesting, and not in an unpleasant way.
Well, why don't we can try this out. You can come out with us, and if we run into problems, we can deal with it then, because you should be allowed to go see the people.
Can you both make intelligence checks for me? This seems like a great idea. Nothing could possibly go wrong. In narrator voice, Silphara is not nearly covered up enough, but you two have no idea that that's not the case. They are just wearing a cloak. Anybody that takes any kind of look at her, like their legs, her shins, their chest or whatever, if they get a look under the cloak, they'll just see construct. But you don't know that. Good roll. Love it. Okay.
Aramon's been spending enough time with her that it doesn't even, or with them, it doesn't even faze him at this point.
Sure.
Other than wondering if they eat breakfast or not.
So you make your way out into the almost city in a lot of ways of nooks. Probably would be like a city if it had a wall around it. And there are people everywhere, and there are buildings lining the streets, and there are people out in the fields, like I mentioned, people walking up and down the streets. You walk by a number of shops that you've never seen before. Like there's some tailor shops, there's like some textile shops, little places. But most of them are homes. People live in these buildings. The other thing that you notice is that people are walking, especially up and down this main road, are carts, and they're coming back and forth, and they seem to be either not laden or laden with dried and salted fish.
Are they laden heading towards the building and unladen going away from the building?
Other way around. When you take a moment to look at them, going away, they're usually filled with stuff. Coming in, they're usually empty.
Because I thought they might be taking them to that center building.
Seems like they're taking them away. Where are you heading to? Let me ask you that first. That'll determine what happens next.
Probably wandering down that main street towards the center.
When you get towards the center, you see that there are carts lined up outside of that big building. They will go in, and they're of different sizes, and sometimes the ones that don't fit in, they'll wait outside, and people will go in there bringing out crates and barrels and loading up wagons. And it looks like a lot of business-type dealings are going on here. The smell of fish gets much, much stronger, especially the blood and things like that. And from the other roads, you can see that carts of fish, like fresh fish, are coming to this big building in the middle, going inside. Also, carts are coming out with like deboned fish and the remains of somebody who has prepared the fish, removed the bones and things like that. Up to the west, on the western road, you see a building that has a star chart as a sign on the front of it. You remember that Noelle told you that other buildings that belong to the Circle of Druids, shrines and things like that, have often star charts as the indicator that they are their buildings, like shrines and places of worship and places that Druids of the Circle of Stars go to.
I would point it out to Aramont. Hey, that looks like the chart and star chart.
Is this something that you would like to explore?
I think I should check it out.
Seems as likely a place to go as any.
Noelle didn't really have anything to do with any of the other Circle of Stars druids, but she never told me not to talk to any of them, so...
You think they can talk to Monty, too?
Maybe. I mean, Noelle couldn't.
While that's going on, that conversation is happening, a gentleman, a bit rotund, kind of muscular, looks like a blue-collar worker with one of these carts. He's come up next to Silphara and is looking Silphara up and down. Are you okay over there? You look a little, gray under that cloak. You feeling okay? Silphara turns to him. I am perfectly fine. How are you? This guy gets a look at Silphara's under the cloak, the faceplate, which is just stone with blue cerulean eyes staring back at him. Mud monster! Mud monster! He starts freaking out.
What? Where? And like, Odie starts spinning around, runs over to Silphara and's like, where? Where did you see the muck monster?
And like, there's a lot of people, right? So everybody like starts looking around and looking at where this guy is pointing. In a second, Odin, you realize that this guy is pointing at Silphara. What do you do?
What? No, no, this isn't a muck monster. Oh no, look in that direction and I'll point towards the lake.
So I will let you make a deception check if you want, but there's not just him looking now, right? There's like a lot of people here. So the DC is pretty high. It's a 20.
I can't get a 20. I have a -1 to charisma.
Well, that just goes to show that you're not going to be able to pull this off. You should roll anyway to see how bad it goes, because I am curious.
Not that bad, but just it's not enough.
No, that's not enough, but it's not awful, right? It's not an awful roll. A few people look that way. Monty even looks that way. Where's the mud monster? It was pretty convincing to Monty. Silphara looks at the guy, looks at you, looks around, looks at you, Aramon. Maybe it wasn't such a good idea for me to come along. As people start crowding around, and then the local constabulary starts showing up. As people have like backed away in a circle and are all like worried now because of what's going on.
Odie would be trying to like get Silphara out of there, like back up out of the crowd type of thing.
I mean, they made a space around you. You're gonna dive into the crowd with her, with them?
Odie would be trying to run away.
You start running. Aramon, what do you do?
And I would be holding Silphara's
hand. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're going with you. She's going with you.
My first instinct is to start walking towards the authorities and explain what's going on. And I think, like, he'll get a few steps towards there and say something to Odie. It's like, Odie, I think we just need to... Odie?
She's, like, running down the street with Silphara.
Well, this is a predicament.
You gonna head him off, Aramon, the authorities, to talk to them?
Yes.
Obviously, they see Odie running with... this cloaked figure. The cloak is now like rippling around them and showing off more of the stone construct underneath. They're like, mud monster, oh no, and they start like running that way too, but you can cut them off. What do you say to them?
No. It is not a mud monster. We know what a mud monster looks like. We have dealt with many of them. We are experts in it. That is not a mud monster. There's just been a misunderstanding.
You can make a persuasion check, DC 15, to stop them from like pursuing.
Alright.
This will give Odie a chance to escape.
That is a 23.
Good roll, man. Cool. Tell me how you managed to get their attention at least for 5-10 seconds, which gives Odie a chance to start running down the road.
You know, I initially tell them, no, you know, we are experts in this. We have done this before. And if they pay any attention to me at all, I start telling them the stories of the mud monsters that we fought and, you know, exactly how difficult they were to kill and how, you know, I'm pretty sure that if you use these particular strokes, it's more effective against them. I start going into like techniques on fighting them.
The one guy with a really bushy mustache is like, oh, I've seen him before too. I fought him myself.
Mm-hmm.
They're tough. They're very tough to kill.
Oh yes.
Got me a nasty scar right here.
Definitely.
This gentleman right here, he knows what he's talking about. Maybe that's not a mud monster.
And the worst thing about the mud monsters is sometimes they end up in your small clothes.
Oh, I've had the mud on me too. It just wiggles around. It's terrible. Had a friend of mine just get sucked right into the ground. It's awful.
It's horrible.
Odie, you're running down the road. people are getting out of your way and are terrified, at least for a few moments. And then you're just running down the road, dodging around carts with Silfaria. Silfaria says to you, "What should we do? Should we go back to the inn? Should we stop somewhere else? I don't know what we should do." Monty says to you,
Hey, I think Aramon had stopped him from chasing us. I mean, we might be in the clear. Maybe we should stop running. We look a little suspicious."
"Okay." And then we'll kind of duck in like an alleyway between two buildings and pause for Odie to catch her breath. Because, I mean, Silfaria doesn't have breath to catch. And Monty was riding Odie.
That's right.
So she'll pause.
So it's you like heaving because you've been running as fast as you can. And you probably don't run a ton. Maybe you do. I don't know. You could tell me.
Odie runs when she needs to. It's not something she does out of pleasure.
Silfaria is standing there looking at you heaving. Monty jumps off your shoulder onto Silfaria's shoulder.
"You okay there? You gonna be okay? You gonna throw up?"
"Yeah, no, I'm fine. Aramont's the one that's supposed to do the running."
"I mean, you just kind of took off."
"Yeah, okay."
"So what should we do?"
"Well, and this is when Odie will probably take a more knowing look at Silfaria and go, yeah, the cloak doesn't cut it. We've got to get you some clothes."
You did walk past a shop for linens and also a tailor shop on the way down.
"Okay, and she'll go back and she'll fix the cloak, pull it closed, look out onto the street, make sure nobody's chasing, nobody's looking for them, and then come back out with Silfaria and Monty and head towards the clothier shop."
You walk into this clothier shop and it is pretty practical stuff for the most part. It is work clothes that are cheap, and looks like they're easily washed. It looks like there's a lot of fish guts that probably get on them and whatnot based on the things that you've seen before. There is also some waterproofed garb that is made in this shop for the people who work out on the fishing boats and also whatever else is bringing fish into this place.
Odie would probably try and find something, probably pants and a shirt that's practical, but maybe has a touch of pretty to it, like some embroidery on it or something that's just a little nicer.
Silfaria walks over to a tunic that is blue.
"Yeah.
I like this color."
"That is a good color for you." And then we'll basically, she'll get, depending upon the cost, pants, the blue shirt, and a scarf of some kind.
A redheaded woman walks out. She is full-figured, wearing a nice green dress, matches her hair. It's got white frills around it. "Oh, how can I help you? You're looking for something for your friend here?"
"Yeah."
"Can I get a look at you so I can see what your size is? I can pretty good eyeballing it."
"Well, we can, but I don't want you to freak out."
"Why would I freak out?"
"Because my friend's not a human."
"What are they, like a half elf?"
"No, they're made out of stone and water."
Her face becomes quizzical.
"I mean, I try and lie to you, but I'm really, really, really bad at that."
That's when Silfaria just pulls her hood back and the lady's face goes pure white. I'll see if she freaks out.
She's fine. She's a good person.
Let's see if she freaks out. I know you're helping, so I'm giving her advantage on this lady advantage on this roll to see if she keeps her shit together. She does. I didn't have to roll a second time. Good job on you. Okay.
"Well, and we were walking around town, and it was a little too obvious that she's a construct, and people freaked out and started calling her a muck monster, and you can see she is clearly not a muck monster."
"I mean, she doesn't look unsimilar to the rock monsters that attacked us a few times."
"You had rock monsters attack you?"
"Them, mud monsters. It's been kind of a problem in town lately."
"Yeah, no, she's not. I mean, there's, look at, and like Odie's going to start pointing out the elegant design of Silfaria.
It's so far over this lady's head.
It shows she's definitely not some random muck monster. She's a much more elegant creation.
"Look, I just want to sell you some clothes. That's enough for me.
And I want to buy some.
Do you mind if I, here, why don't you get the measurements for me?" She hands you the measure. She's like eyeballing it, but she can't really eyeball it because it's a stone construct. She's not quite sure how that works. "Just take this." She hands you a stretchy ruler, stretchy tape measure, the tailoring string leather strap.
Yeah, Odie will definitely lean in and start getting the measurements and like calling them out. She's also going to make sure they're not, like, in an open door or window or anything.
Well, the lady, who she introduces herself as Xenon, she goes and closes the curtains and puts the close sign on the door and locks the door. She's not dumb. Ahriman, you're talking to this mustached constable.
I'm definitely going to play up. Now that I am much more confident about my two-handed fighting, I'm going to bring up the whole, like, and then if you use the hand axe comes across like this. You can hook it into something and pull it close.
Oh, that's fascinating. I like that. I like that. Here, take lessons, boys. I used this this war pick right here, and I hit it right in the head and pulled, and there was some bone in there, and I ripped the bone, the skull, right out of the creature, and that helped quite a bit in making it less solid.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
So this has been going on for like 15 minutes, you guys just trading tips back and forth how to kill these mud monsters. It sounds like he's fought like a good like 24 of them.
I respect the amount of vigilance you have been performing in order to keep people safe and fighting all of these things.
I didn't get your name, friend.
Oh, my name is Ahriman. Ahriman Durant.
My name's Leo. Leo Polk.
I am pleased to meet you.
I'm a lieutenant here in Nooks. What brings you to town?
Does Ahriman remember whether or not we are supposed to let them know that we are working for the Baroness?
Baroness didn't say.
I don't think it would occur to him not to bring that up. We have been actually working with the Baroness, and we're waiting for her entourage to arrive.
Little Hava Kastikin, the Baroness?
Yes, yes.
Oh, you must be a knight of Kastikin.
Oh, no. My father is not too happy about that, but I am not.
Wait, did you say Durant? Let's see if he recognizes the name. Is your father Jonathan Durant?
Yes, that would be him.
You now realize that Leo is probably an older guy, maybe like 5 years younger than your dad.
Mm-hmm.
So not a young man, but not like ancient or anything like that. Oh, I know your dad. I fought with him.
I fought with him quite a bit too. Oh, you mean you fought with him against something else. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the Conklin War, it was a bad time for all of us. How is your father?
He is well. And, yes, he is in adequate health.
Leo looks around at the other constables that have shown up here. There's like a half dozen. They're like, well, you can go, boys. I got this under control. They all just kind of disperse. Stone people. What's going on here? Mud people attacking. Rock people attacking. Messing over fish farms. That's what you hear. There's also a bunch of people that were standing around listening to you guys, watching you guys trade tips about how to kill mud monsters and whatnot. The people were fairly entertained because they're just standing in line waiting to get into this building. So, they're all now like sad that it's all over, but they go back to just standing in line. Come on, lad, I'll get you a drink. Trade stories.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I don't want to lose my friend, though, because we've already kind of split off from the Baroness's party, and I don't know that we want to be split in three different directions.
Do you know where she went?
No. Ahriman's going to sit there for a minute. He goes, but maybe? And I'm going to ask you, could I use one of my uses of divine sense to pick up on the magic that animates Sylpharia?
I will let you make a roll, for sure.
All right.
Using your charisma.
All right.
The DC's only 12.
Hmm.
You think for a second, and then you use your sense to try to track where she might have gone, and you can't quite pick it up, but you do pick up a bunch of remnant auras. The reason you can't get a pinpoint on Sylpharia is there's remnant auras of mud creatures that have been in and around, especially down by the lake, the edge of the lake. In fact, it's very strong here.
I will look back at my new friend and say, you have definitely seen a lot of action. Not realizing he can't see all of these, or I mean, I realize that he can't see these auras, but not thinking about it in the moment.
Yeah, you realize that maybe he was under-exaggerating how many of these things he's fought. It sounds like it's been a problem here.
Was there a particular time when these things started coming in here? Was there some change that you noted before it happened?
Let's go get a drink and we can talk about it.
Let's do so.
Don't worry, I'm sure your friend will be fine.
He still looks down the street like, I'll find them eventually.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Heroes of Hovel's Way. Music and sound effects were from Storyblocks and Envato. If you'd like to interact with us, you can join our Discord. There's a link to join it in our show notes. We talk about D&D and other fantasy gaming stuff there along with other topics. If you want some more, you can be a patron. Being a patron, you can get the first 7 episodes of Part 2 as one large chunk right now. Join for free for 7 days and stick around for $5 a month. I'll be releasing our episodes early there in larger pieces going forward. We also have PDF content of GM tools like Jared's layer action piece, and things you can use in your games like stat blocks for the Slurg and magic swords from Jared. I also talk about the game there, The Heroes of Hovel's Way, in a GM podcast called Chris's Hovel. Check it out at patreon.com/thakawa. That's patreon.com/thakawa. The Patreon helps us make this show and Thaka with Advantage. Speaking of patrons who help us out, I would like to thank David Ridout, Matea the Sorceress, the Polish Ogre, Doug Rass, and Victor Wyatt. Last thing, we're part of the Polygamerus Podcast Network. Great show on there is called Pandas Talking Games. It's where Phil and Senda take questions from the listeners and answer them, like Card Talk, but for your game. Thank you once again for listening, and beware Valhalla Morris and his Slurg. They just love getting in your small clothes.